With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
It's Tuesday, the 6th of August. I'm Jules Breach, he's Andy Brassel, and this is Jules and Andy on Football Ramble Daily.
Harry Maguire is the world's most expensive defender after joining Manchester United from Leicester for a record £80 million fee.
There's been no hot water to get showers, and obviously we've still not received any money, any wages, and no indication of when we will be getting any wages.
Andy, hello, this is nice, this is new.
Isn't it? How exciting.
Daily shows for Fresh, Football Ramble.
Freshness for the start of the season. How does it feel aboard the Good Ship Ramble?
It's so nice. It's so good to be here. Nice to chat football every week. Nice to just be here talking about the things we love talking about.
Well, they've let me up from the pantry of OTC to the proper galley of the Football Ramble proper.
You get a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Is that nice for you?
Yeah, it is exciting. I do like to show some signs of life shortly after the weekend.
Well, so, actually, speaking of life after anything, life after holiday for you, you've literally walked in straight off the back of your holiday literally an hour ago.
Yeah, I have first sprint for a train of 2019-20. Just as it's been an abrupt return to work for me. I guess it's kind of the same for these Premier League clubs because unlike the rest of Europe's big leagues, transfer deadline day is upon us already. Second year in a row that it's happened. It was weird last year.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone knew really what to make of deadline day this year. It feels really soon this year
it's
as
really
well, doesn't
quick.
It?
It feels really soon. I mean, I was out of the Women's World Cup as well. So I had that kind of month in France. So for me, the break has been quite shy. Love sob story already. I've not had enough time off. But seriously, it feels like it's come really quick. And for the window to be closing in just 2 days' time, it feels like everyone's going to be scrambling around for these next couple of days to try and get things done. Do you like the fact it's earlier?
I don't particularly, and I don't know a lot of supporters out there who do. I mean, it doesn't directly affect me or my club because I support a League One club.
Yeah.
And they get a little bit more grace. But it does all feel a little bit sudden and rushed. Like I said, I don't know a lot of supporters in favour of it. On the other hand, I think for coaches, it's terrific. I mean, it's funny. I think especially André Villas-Boas at Marseille, he was saying the other week, I think just last week,
yeah,
it'd be brilliant if that happened for us. Lots of coaches all over Europe, all over Europe's biggest leagues, are very, very envious of Premier League coaches.
Yeah, actually, the Birmingham manager said at the weekend, he said, you know, he quite likes the fact that it's earlier, but he said he actually thinks it should be even sooner. He actually, Pep Clote actually was quoted as saying, I'd quite like it to be July, because then you've got a whole month to actually work with those players before the season actually begins. So I don't know. I mean, that would kind of mess around with players' contracts a little bit and stuff like that. But I actually don't mind the fact that it's closed before the season starts, mainly for my fantasy team, because it means that I haven't got to worry about anything once the season gets going. But yeah, I don't mind it, to be honest. I quite like the fact that it'll all be done in a couple of days and we don't have to worry about all of these kind of speculative transfers, because there's been a lot this summer, hasn't there?
Yeah, I suppose so. But I guess that it's just rethinking the way that Premier League clubs do business, really, isn't it? Because especially with Premier League clubs, we know all big transfers are protracted affairs these days, because you have several agents, there's such an enormous amount of money involved. There's the sense from clubs all over Europe that they can have their big payday from Premier League clubs, which Premier League clubs, you know, don't particularly like, but sooner or later they're going to cave. But I suppose I think it's caught a few clubs by surprise, and I think it will continue to catch a few clubs by surprise. Maybe that means an intensification of transfer deadline day, because, you know, we've had quite a few damp squib transfer deadline days in recent years.
Yeah, been a few rubbish ones, hasn't there?
And I don't know. I think this one might be quite exciting. I mean, we've had a few big moves already, right?
I was going to say, do you think that actually the window closing earlier perhaps inflates prices even more, because clubs are thinking, I need to get this deal done. Maybe I'll raise that price a little bit more. Maybe they're going higher than they initially would have done.
Yeah,
to get a deal done.
Maybe. I think we know that Premier League clubs will pay it in the end.
Yeah,
because they have to. And you know, you can't turn around and plead poverty, can you?
Exactly.
It just doesn't work.
Well, the big one's done. The one that everyone's been talking about for the last week: Maguire from Leicester to Manchester United, £80 million move for Harry Maguire, the world's most expensive defender now, Andy. It's crazy money.
Yeah, I wonder how long that'll last. I mean, there's still this perception that there's an incredibly limited supply of great centre-backs, particularly at the moment. I'm not sure if that's particularly the case. I wonder if just our understanding of what a centre-back actually does is changing. You know, you think of headers, tackles, you know, it's not the be-all and end-all in terms of what a defender is nowadays. Mm. I mean, with Maguire, his big thing is, yes, he is physically imposing, but he's a prince on the ball as well.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
That's something that's really, really important, especially for the biggest teams. And yeah, we're going to throw Manchester United in there as one of the biggest teams. They're still
teams.
They certainly have pretensions to be, don't they? So, I mean, it's a signing that they definitely needed. I mean, I tend to think that a lot is made of the fee as well. I mean, you know, it's a example I've used before. Of course, the fee's the headline. I understand that. But on the other hand, the fact is, he's not going to be the highest earner at Manchester United. And he's a player they definitely needed. And it's a bit like, I don't know, Antoine Griezmann. Like a lot of people going, oh my God, Atletico spent all the Griezmann money on João Felix, who's just a teenager with one season of proper first team football behind him. But actually, because he's earning a quarter of the wages, in fact, a little less than what Griezmann had, that's the repeatable expense, isn't it? So that's really the big deal going forward. So they'll feel they've got an all right deal out of that.
I think the thing is as well, like you mentioned with the fees, is that it just becomes, that's what it is nowadays. 80 million is what you'd pay for one of the best centre-backs in the Premier League. Mm. There are all these direct comparisons being made to Virgil van Dijk because of his huge fee that Liverpool paid.
And do people even remember that now? Do people even think about what they paid for him as being part of how you assess him? I don't think they do they?
I don't think they do, but I think that maybe the reason why with Maguire and his fee, the reason why so many people are talking about it and comparing him to Virgil van Dijk is the reason no one really talks about van Dijk's fee anymore is because of how good he's actually been for Liverpool. Mm. And actually, it was worth the money, Liverpool fans will all say, won't they?
Yeah.
And that's why no one talks about that fee anymore. However, with Maguire, will he have the same impact that Van Dijk had on Liverpool?
But so what does he have to do? I mean, I would say quite a lot of what Manchester, of where Manchester United need to get is like beyond his control, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I think Daniel Story was writing earlier this week about the fact that Manchester United had their longest odds to be champions of the Premier League era going into last season, 7-1. They're 40-1 this year.
Wow.
So what impact can Maguire actually have that people will say, oh, he's been worth it? Is that Champions League qualification? Because I think that would be a pretty reasonable return from this season for Manchester United.
Oh, that'd be a good return, yeah.
But will people think that's enough? Will people think Maguire smashed it if they've made it into the Champions League?
The England star has signed a six-year deal at Old Trafford. Maguire says the move is an incredible opportunity and he believes Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is building a team to win trophies.
Another one of the big completed deals, of course, we presume there'll be more later this week, is Tottenham breaking their transfer record for Tanguy Ndombele, who I think...
I love this signing.
I think he'll be absolutely fantastic for him. Yeah. I've seen a lot of him for Lyon. He's a player who always turns up and bosses it in the biggest matches. But in a way, it's kind of turned into a stick already for Pochettino to beat Levy with, because it's been very, very tense over the last couple of weeks. And it's rather than relieving the pressure on Levy and him going, look, I've spent some money for you now.
Yeah, exactly.
He's been like, well, all right, where's the rest of it?
Yeah.
I've got some of it. I know you've got money.
Yeah.
Where's the rest of it?
I think Spurs fans will just be relieved that after two windows of not signing anyone, they've actually brought someone in who's not just any signing, but a really, really good one who I think...
Who arguably bigger clubs wanted.
Exactly. And he's young as well, which is
good for them. I'm not saying arguably they wanted him. I'm saying clubs that are arguably bigger wanted him. Yeah.
Do you think that Spurs can challenge for the title this year?
I think they're in a position where the top three are looking at being discernibly better than the rest, which I don't think is such a bad thing. I know that's not really answering your question. I'm being a bit sneaky about it.
Come on, Andy.
But I do think that the top three are going to be away from the rest, which is a huge start for Tottenham in the place that they are at the moment.
Yeah.
I think you look at, say Arsenal signing Nicolas Pepe, which I think is a hugely exciting signing. He's been enormously impressive over the last season and a half.
I love how excited Arsenal fans are about that one.
Yeah, and it's kind of like when Mesut Ozil signed. It's like, well, we've signed him. Where's he going to go?
Yeah,
what's the team going to look like? Who cares? Who cares? And, you know, fans have every right to feel like that. Obviously, I think a lot of Arsenal fans are still very nervous about how their defence looks like.
And they need a defender, don't they?
Sometimes when a player that you think is going to make a massive impact is available, you think, let's just get him and work out the details later. But I do think that part of that signing is influenced by the fact that if you're Arsenal, if you're not United, if you're Chelsea, you think the others don't look all that. That fourth place is up for grabs. Let's just go for it.
Right, let's take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about what's happening lower down in the leagues and also some new law changes coming to the Premier League this season.
They're going to flick the ball up to try and play it off a defender's hand.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Mm.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
You know what? It doesn't just have to be about what we want to talk about. We want to hear what you want us to talk about as well. So send us correspondence, tweet us at Andy Brassel, at Jules Breach, and we've got an email as well.
We do.
For longer form questions, Jules.
We've got our own email address. I love it. JulesandAndy@footballrambledaily.com. Again, just straight to the point. Nice and easy.
I feel part of the firm now.
I know. I love it.
It's pretty good.
Got our own email address and everything. So yeah, make sure you send in any ideas, anything you want us to talk about, any funny stories. Anything that's happened to you at the weekend, we'd love to know. Well,
in a football context.
Do we want to know?
Like, if you got locked out of your house, I mean, there's nothing really I can do about that. So,
my car got stolen while I was on holiday.
Oh, no.
No.
Really?
That wasn't fun. Came back to us to no car. Anyway, oh, enough of me being a victim of crime, but.
Well, yeah. I don't know, because I suppose you could argue we're going to talk about some victims of crime.
Yeah.
Bury and Bolton supporters who are enduring a miserable old start to the season. Bolton have been allowed to start their EFL campaign at least. We know that they've had dreadful trouble in terms of ownership. And they're starting the season with a 12-point penalty, as are Bury. And Bury haven't even been able to claw any of those points back because they weren't allowed to start their league campaign because they weren't able to prove solvency and sustainability to the end of the season, to the EFL board. Their second game has been postponed as well.
It's just so awful, isn't
they're
it?
In this horrible purgatory at the moment. I mean, in terms of fit and proper person tests for owners, I mean, there are questions over who might end up taking over Bolton, but clearly what's happened with both of these clubs, clubs with huge EFL histories, whatever the EFL's doing is not working for them at the moment, is it?
It's just really sad. I just really feel, not only for the players who, particularly at Bolton, who they're owed 5 months' wages at the moment. They haven't been paid since February. And
I think a lot of people think, Jules, that it's fine that all footballers can afford it. There are a lot of footballers who can't afford it. And of course, there's the staff as well. There's the people who work in the ticket office, people who work in hospitality, all of
these
those.
These people all have families as well. They've got children, they've got wives, they've got, you know, some of these people, their families actually rely on them because they have to help them out. And I just really feel for them because when you've gone that long without wages, obviously, you know, a lot of these players will obviously be putting money aside for their futures because a football career doesn't last that long. But that's for their future. That's why they're putting it aside, not for the here and now. So you just really feel for them. 5 months' worth of wages that they're out of pocket at the moment. They don't know if they're coming or going, really. It's just a bit unfair. And then it's really unfair on the football fans as well. If you're a supporter of Bury or Bolton, I just really feel for you right now.
Yeah, it is tough. I think we have to think beyond the clubs a little bit as well, because I think the EFL's got a responsibility, not just to the clubs and their supporters, but to their communities as well. Mm. Because, you know, you bear in mind that eventually, like when there's a takeover and they come out of administration, the Bolton players will get their money, for example.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's an offer made to the creditors, the secured creditors, and there are some who just don't get their money back. I mean, you know, you forget this, don't you, that there's maybe a local sandwich shop who's provided 10 grand worth of sandwiches to the club. If they don't get their money back, they go under. I mean, I kind of wonder, I mean, no one wants to see clubs go to the wall. But on the other hand, I wonder if clubs, And this situation is happening far too much, a cut too much slack. And it's often forgotten, I think, when clubs go into administration, the effect that has on local businesses. I was chatting to a friend like quite a long time back, actually, Gary Andrews, who's an Exeter fan, about how when Exeter came out of administration and were run by their supporters' trust, they found it very difficult to get any sort of trust or confidence from the local community.
Yeah.
Because they'd screwed over local businesses, or the previous administration had screwed over local businesses to the extent that, you know, local businesses didn't want to work with the club. Their name was mud. I mean, one part of this, you look at Bury and where they are at the moment. I mean, obviously Bolton are in a grave situation and have been for a while. But you look at Bury, and already there are supporters talking about starting a Bury Athletic or an AFC Bury.
They've almost accepted,
starting from the beginning. And maybe they'll have to, because it's such a deep hole, because it's so solid.
They've almost accepted now, I think, the fans, that there's probably going to be a time where the club doesn't exist anymore. And that's so sad when that's a team you've supported for so many years. You already mentioned the history that both Bolton and Bury have. But also for the fans at the moment, it's kind of the fact that they're kind of just sitting there waiting to hear. And they've got lawyers that are kind of posting messages on their website saying this is the latest. And I mean, what are you going to do as a fan? Just keep refreshing that page and hoping for some good news. It's just,
and you've
just
had,
awful.
You've had that Bolton squad list where they've got they've had like six or seven players on it for most of the summer.
Three senior players played against Wickham at the weekend, didn't they?
Yeah. And I think nuts. At least you know now, I would say, and if Bury are getting to the point where they're starting again, that it can be done. Like you see AFC Wimbledon, for example, my team, who are like, you know, people like the FA talked about a new club, a AFC Wimbledon, or a Wimbledon Town as they called it at the time, would not be in the wider interest of football. You know, that's an incredibly famous quote amongst Wimbledon fans now, because I think what Wimbledon have done has been in the wider interest of football. The idea that fans can get together and formulate a sensible business plan and use people's different skills and work to a budget and not have to borrow. I mean, like, I think everyone knows about the Wimbledon story, but like more broadly, I mean, you've supported a football club that's, you know, been through the ringer when it was in the EFL as well. I just wonder if there's just so much of a culture where, and I'm especially looking at Bury here, where overspending is accepted. And maybe we as supporters have a responsibility to ask more questions. I think everyone knew Bury didn't have the money to put out the team that they did last season. And, you know, it's effectively cheating, isn't it? Because you know that you can't pay these players eventually.
I think
you know, when you've got, like, say, an alternative model, like when we saw the Pozzos taking over Watford for example, and like people like Ian Holloway, someone who I admire greatly. But I don't know if it was like a lack of understanding at what they were doing, but the way that the Pozzos were sharing resources between Watford and Udinese and Granada, who they still owned at the time, to me that seems like a thinking outside the box resource sharing model. Whereas, like if someone had come in, bought Watford, and spent 150 million on the team, no one would have batted an eyelid.
No.
So I wonder if that's something ingrained in our culture. If we're fine with overspending to get to the next level.
I think you're right, and obviously Bury fans last season, you know, after getting promoted, it's such an amazing feeling as a football fan for your team to be promoted. That's all you want. That's all you kind of strive for. Every club wants to win their league or get promoted, unless obviously you're in the Premier League, you want to win the league. But that's, as a football fan, what you're looking for. That's the feeling you want. But at the same time, I think that if your club is in a good position and you have stability, that is in a way almost equally as satisfying.
So what was the point as a Brighton fan, Jules, where you thought it's going to be all right after the Goldstone and Gillingham and with Dean and
a long time.
All that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I'm too young to remember the Goldstone days, but obviously I know the complete backstory of it. I was only about 10 years old around the time that was all kind of happening. But now it's a Nando's.
Right.
There's a Nando's there where the Goldstone ground used to be. I drive past it all the time.
Every cloud has a silver lining.
Great chicken. I mean, it's kind of weird because, you know, the generation above me, my dad and my uncles and, you know, that kind of generation obviously all went there and watched games, and it's weird. It must be so weird for them to drive past there and now see a Nando's and a TK Maxx.
Yeah.
But yeah, obviously I started watching Brighton when we were at the With Dean. And even then, I mean, that was just after the ground sharing at Gillingham at Priestfield. And obviously the With Dean wasn't a great stadium to play football in. It had an athletics track around it. And actually for years was where I went to the gym. So I literally used to run on the treadmill and you could look down and see the state. It's just weird. It's just not. It's not right, is it? Yeah. So I think when Tony Bloom took over the club, it's been around about 10 years now, I think. I think it was about 2008, 2009 that Tony Bloom took over. And I mean, what a genius for what he's done at the club. Now the facilities that we have down in Brighton, the stadium is brilliant. And it's been, when did we move in there? About 8 years ago, I think, 2011, I think the move to the Amex was. Yeah. So, it's taken time. And I think that after back-to-back promotions and then obviously it kind of went a bit downhill again. And then Chris Hughton came in. And I think the 4.5 years that Chris Hughton spent at Brighton, he really stabilised the club. And I think it was around then that it kind of felt right. This is now, we're in a good position now. And obviously promotion to the Premier League, that is one of the best feelings you can experience as a fan.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine when Wimbledon move into Plough Lane, that'll be the one. That'll feel better than any of the promotions. You know, there've been a lot of significant ones in recent years. But I remember vividly the last time that Wimbledon played at Plough Lane. I was 14. I lost 3-0 at home to Crystal Palace. And Ian Wright, who I now know quite well, scored a hat-trick.
Wow.
Which is weird. Is yeah. I mean, that will be quite emotional. I have to take my kids, even though they're not that interested in football.
Are they not?
Because I think, you know, they don't mind it.
Yeah.
But they're not super interested in it. I mean, they're still relatively quite small. But yeah, for them, it's quite important that they sort of even get a little taste of that feeling. But look, we hope it comes right for Berry and Bolton and all the other supporters who've been led down various paths by shysters in charge of clubs.
My priority is not to win friends and influence people, but to save a football club, which are doing a pretty good job of, I think.
I guess one thing that's going to change about our football watching experience this season, Jules, is the fact that they're going to be rule changes. I mean, you know, there are rule tweaks all the time. You know, it's not something you can nail to the wall, the rules of football. You know, there are a few things that people are aware of. Obviously, VAR is coming in the Premier League.
I don't know if I'm a fan or not. I keep changing my mind.
Yeah.
Kind of like it.
Go back and watch it again and then decide.
Yeah, I hate it. And then I love it. And then I'm like, yeah, that was good. That was good for us. Oh, no, that's bad for us now. So I can't make my mind up on it. But I think it's going to make it, it's going to be an interesting season with VAR.
Yeah, well, you know, especially with the handball rules, which people have been over it again and again.
Do you understand it yet?
And again.
Sort of.
I think I'm 98% of the way there.
I can't wait for all of the pundits on TV this year and radio to talk about the natural silhouette.
Oh, yes.
I can't wait for all of them to start talking about this natural silhouette. There isn't there?
It sounds balletic.
Yes.
It seems as if we should be talking about Zinedine Zidane if we're talking about natural silhouettes. But I know you're the queen of fantasy football. So
apparently.
The question is, I mean, it's not really a question. You're going to have Luka Milivojevic in your team,
aren't
you?
Absolutely, he's there. He's there. It really depends.
Is he going to be a 25-goal top scorer, is what
probably
I'm getting at.
If Zaha stays, yeah. If Zaha stays, he's staying in my team.
There's going to be a lot of pens, right?
Honestly, he was straight in my basket. He was one of the first players in my team because last season, obviously, you know, we've known for a while now that VAR's coming in, and straight away you're thinking, all right, well, if I'm stuck between a couple of players, I'm going to pick the one that's on penalties because naturally, actually, when you look at the stats, it didn't change much in the other leagues when VAR was brought in, did it? So when we might all be completely wrong and I might have a Crystal Palace player in my fantasy team for no reason, which will hurt me. But at the moment, it's fine. He's staying. If Zaha stays at Crystal Palace, then I'm keeping Luka Milivojevic. I do think there are going to be penalties because I think with any law changes, with any rule changes, with something like VAR coming in, I think it's going to take the players a bit of time to adapt and get used to it.
Exactly. I mean, I'm showing my age here, but I remember the back pass rule coming in 1992. And yeah, there are a few gag goals where goalkeepers realised at the last minute that they couldn't pick it up back then. I mean, I suppose we're having the most significant change for goalkeepers since 1992 in that now the goal kick is live the minute they touch it. So it doesn't have to leave the penalty box. See, I think it's quite good because it encourages teams to knock it about. Now, I suppose people will look at Gareth Southgate's England and have a little shiver at the moment. But I think it's quite decent because, for me, the back pass rule is against decent football because, it certainly was at the time, because it encouraged defenders to kick it in the stand to be safety first. It encouraged goalkeepers to kick it in the stand. I mean, when we were talking about this before, you were making the point that, you know, goalkeepers have completely evolved and they're expected to be proper players.
I think so.
So it's the right time for this rule?
I think it is the right time for this rule. I think that it's been a while now, hasn't it, since teams have been encouraged to play out from the back. And since, you know, you look at goalkeepers and you kind of judge them based on, but can they play out from the back? You know, can they play that style of football? And I think it will encourage it more. And I think that goalkeepers will have to be possibly trained and coached differently now with these kind of rules coming in. So I think it kind of paves the way for a new style goalkeeper.
Yeah. I mean, we're already,
quite like it.
We're already halfway there, aren't we?
My favourite of the new law changes
is
that if a player gets substituted, they have to leave the pitch at the nearest point and now not at the halfway line. They don't have to go off at the halfway line.
You know, I know a lot of overseas players who play in the Premier League are quite nervous about this.
Really?
Why? Because they're like, well, the thing is that the stands are so close to the pitch in England, especially if you're away from home, you've got to walk past like thousands and thousands
of
fans.
Man up. If you've been subbed, take it like a man.
I don't know.
No?
Maybe you should get given a special coat or like with a hood or something like that, so you don't have to.
Do you know what I think is going to be funny with this law is I think it's just basically not going to make any difference because it's usually, unless you're Kepa, fairly obvious when you're going to be subbed and you basically just go off. So I think that you're going to know when you're about to be subbed and you're just going to basically just stand right in the middle of the pitch and it doesn't make a difference. Because you're still going to go off at the halfway line.
Yeah, to me it makes makes me think of players who, you know, when they're injured, or they have a fit of pique, decide, well, they know I'm going off, I just walk off now.
Yeah.
Which is annoying, and I think that makes it more easy. I guess the other thing when we talk about substitutions, something that my friend Mark Langdon brought up last year, which keys into the VAR thing, is the fact that if you make substitutions in reaction to a goal, say, for example, if I'm the coach, my team goes 1-0 up, so I take off a striker and bring on another midfielder, or if my team goes goal down and I take off a left back and bring on a striker, you can't reverse the substitutions if the goal subsequently gets ruled out. So you're left in a bit of a spot. Now,
kind of like that though.
Yeah,
I kind of look forward to
that moment. The lotteriness.
Yeah, I like the fact that there's going to be a few managers kind of sweating over their decisions.
Well, in a way, we're kind of too
fun.
We're kind of too prepared, aren't we? In the fact that we have substitute goalkeepers now, which means we have far less instances of random outfield player in goal, which I quite like.
Football's got too clever lately, hasn't it? All this VAR, you know, your toenail makes you offside and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's all just got a bit clever. The fun and the joy of football is the fact that you go there to support your team and you want them to win. And that's basically the basics of it. Just watching people run around kicking a ball and being really good at it.
I think part of the fun and the joy of it is being able to take your shirt off if you're going mad when you scored. But
can't do it anymore.
Not only...
Well, you'll get booked. You can do it.
Yeah.
Keep doing it.
But the thing
great.
Is, now, if you get booked for doing it, the booking stands if the goal's ruled out.
Yeah. I mean, I guess so it should.
Yeah,
It does make sense. You can't reverse what's happened, even if you've scored a goal. You know, I think that actually makes sense, but it's still not going to stop them taking their shirts off because we've seen. I mean, they all know they're going to get booked if they, you know, go off celebrating like a lunatic. But it doesn't stop them, does it?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's part of the joy of the game is that you. I don't think that rule changes necessarily change that kind of moment of elation when you score?
No.
Quite like,
we always had that 10 seconds when the goal counted until it didn't.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Brilliant.
Oh, love it. Right. Well, I think that's it for our first one, Andy. I hope you've enjoyed it. Make sure you get in touch with us. Give us your thoughts on anything you want us to talk about on next week's show. We will be back every single Tuesday as part of Football Ramble Daily. Hope you've enjoyed it. We'll see you next time. Cheers, Andy.
Cheers.
Bye.
Looking at my shoes, it means speak. That's the rule from now on.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.